Who's had a great time at Rock Cafe? Has it been awesome? You don't seem very sure about that. Has it been awesome? One more time. Has it been awesome? Okay, fantastic. I've had a great time, and I'm a kind of oldie, and I apologize for my suit on tonight. The older people grabbed me and made me go to their service, and I had to be dressed very smartly. So I'm kind of in my old-fashioned clothes. Do you forgive me? Okay, we're going to talk about forgiveness tonight. How about that? No, seriously speaking now, when I was preparing to come to Ireland, I was driving my car and God just dropped a little kind of question into my heart that actually he wanted me to bring to you tonight. Is that good? Now, this question is only 3 words long. So it's not a big question, but it's a very, very important question. Are you ready for it? The question is simply this: where are you? Yeah, okay, I accept that. Where are you? But that question goes a little bit deeper. So on the first night, we talked about kind of that rich young guy that had everything and he was kind of empty. You know, we kind of looked at some spiritual stuff. Last night, I gave you my testimony. But tonight, you know, God wants to ask you a question. Where are you? And although you said very rightly that you are here, he's actually asking the question a little bit deeper. Now, I'm going to open up the Bible tonight because that's where it comes from. And you might have your Bibles with you, but let me just find the place, okay? Okay, it's here. Okay, where are you? That question is found in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, okay? Chapter 3, verse 9. Just in case you go to Lucas and say, he never once opened up the Bible. Well, I've opened up the Bible tonight, and God is saying to you, where are you? Okay, so I can shut the Bible now and carry on with the message, because I've opened up the Bible. Where are you? Listen, when God said that, we need to kind of go back in time, turn back the clock, because God said that a long time ago, but actually it's quite relevant to you tonight as well. Okay, so don't switch off just yet. When God made the world, okay, when God created everything, and let's remember tonight, it takes a bit of faith to believe that, okay, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And they might not teach that kind of stuff in schools any longer, but the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. Does anybody believe that tonight? Yeah. Put your hands up if you believe what the Bible says. Hey, that's fantastic. Listen, you might not have been there when God created the heaven and the earth, but if you believe that tonight, then you've got something precious. You've got something special, and it's called faith, because it takes faith to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And when God created all that stuff all those years ago, the Bible says it was fantastic. It was beautiful. Hey, in the words of Lucas, it was awesome. Yeah, it was fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. And God created the birds and the animals and everything else. And the Bible says that God created man in his image. Who can tell me the name of the first guy? Adam, that's right. God created Adam, and God created a beautiful garden. Who can tell me what the garden was called? Eden. God created man, and he created a garden, and he put man in the garden and said, I want you to look after this garden. Okay? And then God noticed something. Adam was all on his own. Yeah, there were dogs and cats and all the other things, but Adam was all on his own. And everybody said, so God said, I'm going to make a helper for you. I'm going to make a companion for you. And so God made a helper and a companion. And her name was called?
Eve.
Yeah, you know the story well. Well, listen. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he said, guys, you can eat of any of the trees in the garden. Okay? There's some beautiful stuff in the garden. And you can enjoy all this because I've made it for you to enjoy. Now, maybe tonight you've got a kind of, maybe I don't know what you think about God, but you need to understand something. God is not an ogre. Sometimes people make out God to be some tight-fisted ogre, and he doesn't want us to enjoy life. God created a beautiful garden so that Adam and Eve could enjoy it. And God wants you to enjoy life to the full. And that's why he sent his son Jesus to help us live life to the full. So God says to them, you can't eat of one tree, and it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat that fruit, you are goners. You're going to die. Now, I think that's pretty cool because God said they could eat of any of the other trees, but not that tree. And for a while, everything went fantastic until the devil came into the garden and got hold of Eve one day and tempted her to eat of the fruit. And the devil said, surely you won't die. Look at that fruit. It's fantastic. Look at that fruit. Surely you won't die if you eat that fruit. And Eve was kind of saying, nah, we shouldn't do that. God said, not that tree. Anything else, but not that tree. But the devil kept up the temptation. And maybe you've been tempted to do something wrong. And sometimes temptation keeps coming and coming. But you've got to say no. You've got to stand your ground against temptation. And Eve kind of put up a bit of a fight. But it didn't last long. And she fell to temptation. And then she took the fruit and she gave it to her husband Adam. And both of them fell. And when they did that, the Bible says they fell from the life that God had planned for them to live. In fact, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they rebelled against God. They were basically saying, we're better than God. You know, because our thinking's better than God's thinking. And hey, we'll do life our way, thank you. And we're going to go against what God says. And we're going to please ourselves. But something terrible happened. Yeah, they didn't die straight away. They didn't kind of drop dead on the floor. But inside, spiritually, they died. Inside, something terrible happened. And suddenly, they recognized something. Suddenly, they saw that they were naked. Because up until that point, they had no clothes on. And it didn't matter to them. Because God would come and walk in the garden and talk with them. And everything was kind of pure and lovely. It really didn't matter. But now, they're naked. They got no clothes on. And Adam kind of feels a little bit ashamed. And Eve's feeling a bit uncomfortable. So they go and get some leaves. And they kind of, well, Eve makes a bikini out of the leaves, you know. And Adam's got this little thong on. And he's standing there. And they're like that because suddenly they're naked and they are feeling exposed. And it's at that point that God comes along into the garden. I mean, how cool is that? God used to come into the garden and talk with them. You see, God was their friend. And this is what God wants for you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to share his heart with you. He wants to do fantastic things for you. Why? Because he thinks the world of you. He wants a special relationship with you. And that's what God had with Adam and Eve up until that point. And when God came rustling through the leaves, Adam felt really exposed. He felt naked, ashamed. And what he did was he literally dived into the bushes and hid away from God. And it's at that point in the scripture that God says, where are you? That's where the scripture comes from. That's the context of the story. Where are you? And Adam's hiding away. Now listen, God didn't have to say, where are you? I'll tell you why, because God is God. Did you know that God can see everything? Yeah, God sees absolutely everything. Did you know that God hears everything and God knows everything? Well, I don't have time tonight to prove all that to you, but I want to say this. Over the last 24 years, I have read this book, the Bible, from cover to cover, year in, year out. And I don't know everything about God, but I do know this. God sees everything you do. God knows everything you do. And God hears everything you do. And you might think sometimes you're kind of doing things in secret. You might think your mum and dad doesn't see. And you might think the teachers haven't heard. And you might think that no one knows about the stuff you're doing behind the scenes. Although on the outward, you come along to the youth here and you come along to church. And on the outside, everything looks cool. But on the inside, you're living a double life. Okay, God sees that and he knows that and he understands where you're at. Now, why did God call out to Adam, "Where are you?" Why did God do that? He didn't need to do that, because if God is God, and if he sees everything, if he hears everything, and if he knows everything, what's the point of saying, "Where are you?" He could have kind of just tiptoed over to the bush and said, "Gotcha," like that, because God's God. But he didn't. He kind of stood back and he said, "Where are you?" And I'll tell you why he did that. Because he wanted to give Adam a chance to kind of come forward and get it sorted. You see, God's not in the business of wiping the floor with us. Hey, we all muck up in life. I told you last night how I mucked up. I mucked up big time. But I guess tonight it's possible, because there's a lot of people here. There's quite a few of us, if not all of us, have been mucking up at times. We kind of gone off the rails. We've been living our lives as if God didn't exist. We've been kind of saying, "I'm not too fussed about the Bible and church and Jesus. And I think I'll have a go at doing life my way." And when we live like that, actually, we're mucking up. And the Bible says that when we live like that, we're kind of in a wrong relationship with God. God didn't wipe the floor with Adam. He loved Adam. And he said, "Where are you?" He gave Adam a chance to come forward. And Adam did come forward. And the whole sorry story came out. And God could have frazzled Adam just then. But he didn't. What did God do? Well, the Bible says that God actually took a lamb and he killed the lamb. And then he got the skin of the lamb and he made some clothes. And he clothed the nakedness of Adam and Eve. In other words, he kind of forgave them, and then he covered their shame. You see, sometimes we think, "Oh God, you know, he's going to wipe the floor with me," but he's not like that. He loves us to bits. And so God said to Adam, "Where are you?" Because Adam was hiding away. And I want to say tonight, I believe that there's some people here that are kind of hiding away from God. I really believe that. I believe tonight there's some folks here, some of you young people, and actually you're not in a good place with God. And you know that some of the stuff you're doing is wrong. Lying, cheating, maybe swearing, stealing. Kind of doing stuff that you know is to be wrong. Saying wrong things. You know, kind of not really living in a right relationship with God. And because of that, what you're doing is actually you're hiding away from God. And you're kind of diving in the bushes when it comes to times like this. And you're hiding away. But God tonight is saying to you, "Where are you?" And he's saying that to you tonight because he wants to give you a chance to get it sorted. You see, God doesn't want our lives all broken and messed up and going nowhere. He wants to get it sorted. And he can sort it tonight. And God actually sorted it 2,000 years ago when he allowed his son Jesus to come into our world to die upon a cross, to pay the price for all the wrong stuff that we ever did. Hey, I discovered 24 years ago that when I came to Jesus and I opened up my heart to him, that God sorted it. And he cleaned out the inside of my life. And he's still in the business today of cleaning out people's lives on the inside and giving people a real peace on the inside, a joy, and giving us a purpose for our lives. And if you're here tonight and you've been hiding away from God, and maybe over Rock Cafe just for the last couple of days, you know, we've been challenging you. Yeah, we've had some fun. But at this point of the evening, we've been talking about some serious stuff to do with God and to do with you. And maybe you've been kind of hiding behind the chair, you know, hiding away from God. But he sees you. And he says to you tonight, on the last night of a youth cafe, he says, "Where are you?" And he sent me from England and from mainland over here with this message because he loves you. Yeah, he loves you to bits and he wants stuff to get sorted. Now, maybe tonight you are a Christian and you've been a Christian now for a few years. But guess what? God's got the same question for you. Because God's saying tonight to you, where are you? You see, when it comes to Sunday and when it comes to kind of coming to church and worship, hey, some of you don't come along. You know, and we need to understand tonight that Jesus gives us a life of purpose. And when we surrender to that purpose, life is one great big adventure. Hey, I've never been bored being a Christian. I've never once been disappointed with following Jesus Christ. Ever since I gave my heart to Jesus as a young man, I have been excited about following him. Hey, following Jesus is fantastic. It's taken me literally around the four corners of the world. I've met thousands of people. I've been to some wonderful places. And I believe the life that God has given me in Christ, he can give you as well. And maybe you won't do exactly the same things as I've done, but God will give you a life that's satisfying. And I believe that God has given us some great purposes. And I know that this church actually believes in these purposes because you can read about it on the church's website. And if you haven't yet visited it, you need to visit this church's website. It's absolutely awesome and cool. And one of the purposes that we have in life as people that are supposed to be following Jesus is actually to worship. And so it's Sunday. And some of you might come along on Friday night, but you never normally come on Sunday. And you're here tonight because you might get the wee. You might get something else. But God's saying to you tonight, hey, it's Sunday. And my house is open. And the band's pretty good. And everybody's coming to worship me. But where are you? And some of you are just at home. You could be here, but you kind of think, ah, watch a bit of TV, you know, get the game station on. But God's saying, hey, it's my special day. And this is my special house. And the music's cool. And you need to come along and worship because I want you here singing my praises and opening up your hearts to me. Hey, Jesus is saying to some of you tonight, God's saying to you, where are you when it comes to being a disciple, a follower of Jesus? You see, part of discipleship is actually on a regular basis to open up the Bible and to listen to what God has to say and also speak to him. Okay? And some of you probably never open up your Bible. And if you open up your Bible, you'll discover that God has so much for you and he can speak to you and direct your life. And God can challenge you. And God can bless you. And God can cause your faith to rise so you can believe for great things. Hey, it's maybe a short time each day, but you're so full of yourself and full of other things that when it comes to reading your Bible and just praying for a few moments, you don't kind of get that moment and you don't connect with God in a personal way. And so God says to you, where are you? Sometimes, you know, on a Friday night, when they open up the youth event here, you could come along. You see, we were created to have kind of friendship with one another, to support one another. Hey, it's Friday night, and there's loads of young people that attend this church, go to the youth. Put your hand up if you come here on Friday night. Wow, look at that. Give them a hand clap for those that come on. Go on, take up a hand clap. Listen. It's Friday night. Hey, this place is absolutely awesome. Great things are happening. Okay, Lucas and Sue and other people are here and it's all happening. And God wants to do some great things on Friday night because it's called friendship and fellowship. And that's part of a purpose of serving Christ and following him. But you're not here because you've gone down the chippy and you've gone somewhere else and you're kind of hanging around and doing nothing really. And you're going nowhere and doing nothing. And God says to you, hey, it's time to come and meet with some of your friends at the church. Where are you? And maybe you need to kind of come out a bit more often and come to church. Hey, we need to share what we have in Jesus with our mates. Now, we've been going into the schools this week, and James and Hazel are doing a fantastic job going into the schools. They've been telling the students, kids just like you, that there is a great life to live, and it's found in Jesus, okay? And that's called outreach. But guess what? We can't be in your school all the time. We can't always be there taking assemblies. We can't always be in the classes. We can't always come and do some cool things at the front, because it's not possible. And, you know, there's not enough of us to go around, to go into all the schools. But I've got some good news for you. God can still go into your school, and awesome things can happen in your school. Why? Because you're there. And so when it comes to telling your mates about Jesus and about this church and about the youth and the great things that are happening here, sometimes some of you get a bit embarrassed. You know, you shout and you kind of do great things here, but when it comes to Monday morning, you're scared to tell your mates about Jesus. Hey, what did you do on Sunday? And you think, well, I went to church, but I can't tell my mates that because they'll laugh at me. Hey, stand up for what you believe in, you know, and tell your mates, hey, I went to church. If I came to this church, I'd tell everybody about it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Hey, this is a great church, and great things are happening here, and this Rock Cafe has been absolutely awesome. Don't you think you ought to tell your mates about it? Because they've missed out. But next time, if you told them, hey, they might be sitting next to you. And when it comes to sharing our faith with other people, you know, sometimes we kind of don't do it. We kind of step down from our responsibility. And God says to us, hey, where are you? And so tonight, if you're here, and if you've never ever given your heart to Jesus Christ, hey, this is the last night of a Rock Cafe. And other people have kind of come out of hiding, and they've come forward and they said, here I am, Lord. I open up my heart to you. Forgive me. Lord Jesus, come into my life and change me. That's fantastic. And those people have made a good decision. But I think God's speaking to young Christians here tonight. You young people that have already opened up your heart to Jesus. And God's saying to you, where are you? It's Sunday. You ought to be in my house. But you never come along. God's saying, where are you? And he's saying that to you tonight because he wants to give you an opportunity to change things, to make a commitment to follow him. Hey, it's an opportunity to read your Bible and pray, to spend some time, quality time with God. And God says, where are you? Because you never open up your Bible or pray. Hey, you get an opportunity to come to the youth events, but you kind of stay away. And in staying away, you kind of, hey, you're not getting encouraged. You're not getting built up in your faith. You're not kind of hanging out with some people that can really help you in your Christian faith. And God says, where are you? And when it comes to sharing our faith with others, we go quiet. And God says, where are you? I need you to go into your school to tell your friends about Jesus. Let's all stand right now. Let's stand. Maybe you can turn down the lights just a little bit. Let's stand. This song's got a little chorus. Here I am to worship. And tonight God's saying, where are you? And if God's been speaking to you tonight, if you've never ever given your life to Jesus, God's saying, where are you? Well, tonight you can say, here I am, Lord. And if God's challenging you to kind of go up the next level in your Christian life, and I believe there's loads of people tonight that could do more than following Jesus, God's saying, where are you? Well, why don't you do something tonight significant? Hey, it's the last night of Rock Cafe. Why don't you do something? As we sing this song, if God has been speaking to you on Friday, if God's been speaking to you on Saturday, if God's spoken to you tonight and he's saying, where are you? And you feel it in your heart, you want to say, God, here I am. As we sing this song, and the lights are kind of turned down a little bit because we don't embarrass you, why don't you leave your chair and come and stand at the front and you sing this song. And at the very end, Lucas is going to come down and he's going to pray that God is going to really bless you. Now, don't come down the front if you don't mean business with God. But if you've been hiding away from God and you think tonight's the time to come clean and get things sorted with God, and only you can do that, as we sing this lovely worship song, you come and stand at the front and Lucas is going to pray and just encourage you as he comes right now. Who's going to be the first to do business with God? Who's been hiding and says, God, I'll come out and I'll stand before your presence and worship you tonight and get things sorted. Come on, Stuart, start the song. You come right now. Don't wait for the next person. You come right now and sort things out with God. Come on. Come right now if you want to come. That's right. You come if you want to come. You've been hiding from God. But you say, Lord, here I am. That's great. This is your opportunity to get it sorted. Lord, I've been hiding, but now I stand before you. And I open up my heart to you. To worship. To follow you. You come right now if you want to come. Don't worry about your mates. You come for yourself and God. That's wonderful. Just make some space up front. Stand forward a bit more. Come forward. This is awesome. Lord, I'm not going to hide away anymore. I'm going to get it sorted tonight and do business with you. Only come if you mean it. Come on, let's sing up. I can't hear you. Let's worship God tonight. Come on, sing.
Christians, what we do when we worship God sometimes is we like to say, "Here, God, I'm here, I'm all yours," and we lift our hands. And sometimes that is an expression of kind of like surrender. I want to say, "God, you know, here I am." When He says, "Where are you?" you say, "Here I am, God." And maybe you want to do that as we just sing through this bridge. As we sing, "I'll never know how much it cost to see that sin upon my cross."
Real quick, let me just say this. There's all kinds of different people in this room, right? Even people from different places. So you've got people from here in Ireland, got people over here from England, a couple of Lithuanians sneaking around in here somewhere, right? Americans. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you take all 6 billion people on the earth, there's really only two kinds. You can divide all 6 billion people into two groups. Christians and everybody else. Now, what does that mean exactly, right? Let's just, now I'm a pastor, right? I work at the church, but let's just cut to the issue. Let's strip all that stuff away. Because at the end of the day, if you're not a Christian, you're without Christ, none of those things really matter. Here's the question that matters at the end of our life. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? It doesn't matter. That's it. That's the question that we all have to answer. And sometimes we can kind of go through the motions of doing things that Christians kind of do. So we can go to church. We can say all the right things. We can do all those things. We can be on the outside all the things that other Christians do, right? But that doesn't really mean that we know Jesus and that he knows us. And so that's the question that we have to ask at the end of the day. And so tonight we've kind of been, over the last 3 nights, we've been talking kind of back and forth to those two groups. So some of you here are Christians. You're like, yeah, I have a relationship with God. I know Christ. There was a time in my life where I confessed that I had sin in my life, a sin that offended God, that broke my relationship with him. And I confessed that sin, and I confessed that Jesus and his blood shed on the cross covered my sin. And now I'm in right standing with God. And that's, some of you have made that decision. You've said, yeah, I've done that. I clearly understand that. And you're here because sometimes we start to stray and we wonder. And even though we have a relationship with Jesus, it's not as good as we want it to be. It's not as close as we want it to be. And I'm glad you're here tonight to say, you know what? I need to work on that. And I need to start investing in that relationship, just like you would in any other relationship, right? With your friends, you have a friend, oh man, I haven't hung out with that friend in a long time. I haven't seen him in a long time. I haven't talked to him on the phone in a while. I haven't chatted online in a while. I need to get back together with that friend. I kind of miss that person. And some of you, it might be that way with Christ tonight. You have the relationship, but you've kind of let it stray a little bit. And I'm glad that you're here tonight to recommit that, to say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to re-engage. I'm gonna kind of plug back in. And those of you that are on the other side that say, you know what, I don't even have a relationship with Christ. I don't know what that really means. I don't know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What does it mean to have your sins forgiven? What's the whole deal with the blood and the cross and all that kind of stuff? I'm not sure, but I want to know more. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to come to the end of my life and have to answer that question, do I know Jesus? And the answer is, not really. Because the question won't be, well, did you go to church? The question won't be, well, did you ever pray? The question won't be, did you ever pick up a Bible or did you own a Bible? Or what was your attendance at youth club like? None of those questions will matter at the end of the day. It's, do you have a relationship with Christ? Do you know Jesus? Does he know you? Has he forgiven you of your sin in your life? And that's what we want to help you answer that question. And so here's the deal. I know it took a lot of courage for you to come up here and to do that. But here's the thing. Like, I don't know what group you're in right here, right now. And so if you're a Christian and you're up here because you want to replug in, I'm going to pray for you here in a second, right? And let me just say that we'll continue to pray for you in that. And if there's anything that we can do, talk to myself or any of the leaders, and we'll be glad to do whatever we can to help you with that. But if you're here tonight and you're like, I'm just not sure if I'm a Christian or not, and I don't want to go away unsure or not know, well, that's where we need to know who you are. And so here's the deal. When we're done, because here in a second the music will stop, we'll get all excited because someone's going to walk out of here with a Wii, and then pizza, and we all just kind of walk out the door, and we'll forget what just happened like 3 minutes ago. And so if you really mean it, if you really want to know what does this mean to have a relationship with God, I want you, when we're done, when everybody leaves to go get pizza, to hang out in here, okay? There's 40 gigantic pizzas in there, so we're not running out of pizza. I probably ordered too much. My bad, all right? But, so you're not going to go hungry. But just stick around in here, and that way we can just chat with those of you that are saying, you know, I want to know a little bit more. And don't be afraid. Don't be shy. You know, if your friend's like, dude, let's get some pizza. Come on, let's go. So just say, hey, you know what? I'll catch up with you in there. I'll be in there in a second. And no one will think anything about that, all right? So just hang out in here, and we'll just want to get your name and address. Listen, that doesn't mean you got to get signed up, and we're going to stamp your forehead, and you're officially a part of this church or anything like that at all, right? It's just we don't want you to walk out of here misunderstanding anything, okay? Because we love you, and God loves you, and that's the most important decision you'll ever, ever, ever make. And this today could be your only chance for that. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, right? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Right across that parking lot is a cemetery. And then it is my 21-week-old daughter. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So make the decision today, okay? Let me pray for you guys. God, we just thank you for you. That you are a big God. And that you love us so much that you wouldn't just leave us to die in our own sin. Just to die disconnected from you. To die to spend eternity separated from God in a very real place called hell. You loved us so much that you provided a way for us to come back to you, to enter into a relationship with you. God, if we'll just turn from our own ways, if we'll just believe in your Son, Jesus, that what he did on the cross paid the penalty for us. We all deserve to die because of our sins, God. And yet you love us so much that you let Jesus do that for us. He took all of our sin and paid the penalty for that. God, we don't understand why you would do that. I wouldn't let my child die for anybody. And yet you sent your only Son to die for us. And so we thank you for that. God, I just pray that tonight, those that are really wondering what it means to be saved, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to know God, that they would just have the courage to stay back and just go to the back of the line as far as pizza and all that. God, there's pizza every other day in our life, but tonight might be the chance that we have to meet you for the first time. So I pray that those that would really understand that would just have the courage to do that. God, we pray for those that do know you, that just admit that their relationship isn't where it should be. God, that they would re-engage with you, that they would fall in love with the Bible, that they wouldn't just think it's some old dusty book, but God, that they would understand that it's the place where they encounter you and they find out who you are as you reveal yourself through your word and through your Holy Spirit in our life, God. We thank you for that. God, we just thank you for everybody that's here tonight and that they've just come out and that they've listened so well. And God, we just pray that you would make up the difference where our words fall short. We ask this in your name. Amen.